live from the HananiahAutos.com studio. This is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange, Geico, and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Here we are at the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, Labor Day evening. Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco. Your calls coming up at the second hour tonight. Plenty to get to. We'll get to the cuts, the claims for the Jags. Talk a little defense, see what they have in store for them this Sunday against the Green Bay Packers. What's the offense going to look like this week against Green Bay? A little consistency, maybe. Injury report is short. That's good news. All 53 on the roster practiced today. Plenty to get to. Before we do that, I've got to ask you, Tony, about your passive-aggressive T-shirt last week. You wore an SC shirt to a show in here and got pummeled on Saturday night, 52-6. And now you've changed shirts.
Well, first of all, it was not a passive-aggressive shirt.
Yeah, it was. It was.
No, I have a lot of USC T-shirts, and I wear them occasionally.
What's this shirt say today?
Florida State.
What's the hat? Oh, Episcopal?
Episcopal hat. Episcopal Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
I noticed you were very quiet today when you came in.
Well, listen.
You have much to say.
When you get it handed to you like that, and I got nothing to say, we weren't very good.
I could coach Alabama, by the way. Whatever they're doing to get players in there, I could coach that team. It's just they roll them in and roll them in and roll them in.
They're
it's ridiculous.
Good.
They're great. They got great players. And Nick Saban's a hell of a coach.
Very good coach. But you know the frustrating
USC's
thing?
USC's offensive line was pathetic.
Pathetic.
You had to kill you watching that.
It was bad. Well, and the quarterback's no good. Or I shouldn't say that. First start, tough place to start. I'll say this, defensively.
They look pretty good defensively.
They played well in the first half. They shut down Alabama. I mean, basically had one big play, pick six. That was the difference. It should have been a 3-3 game, really. You see what happened on that big play? I know we're talking about the corner ran him out of bounds.
Yeah, and he came back and he thought he was in
the He thought it was the NFL. It's not. I'm like, it's college. Just have to reestablish yourself.
Yeah, that was – kid made a good throw on it. But
oh, yeah.
But Alabama's –
very
good. How many – they lost a ton of defensive players, and look at all the ones they got back.
Stacked.
They got guys on
that team. Allen kid's maybe the best defensive lineman in the country, too.
Well, the Anderson kid can rush the passer. He's 22? Yeah, and the other kid is a real good pass rusher. That's all he does, Williams. The safety's good. I think the safety's going to be a hell of an NFL player.
If we'd have played perfect, we'd still would have lost.
The one regret is that you and I didn't go to the game together. That would have been a fantastic flight home.
I'm so happy I decided not
to. And then I nestle in on Saturday, watch all college football. I get to Saturday night, and I start throwing up on Arizona State again. They're putrid.
Oh. Are they bad?
Well, they barely were beating Northern Arizona, and they put it on at the end of the second half. They're bad. They stink. It's a terrible program. They got new uniforms, new stadium, and same old crappy team.
Great game last night.
That was fantastic.
Great. Awesome. I mean, it was great. I love it. I'm so happy football's back. Gosh,
me too.
I'm happy.
Yep. Real football.
I enjoyed this weekend.
Me too.
And I'm going to enjoy tonight. Looking forward to Florida State.
Me too. Andrew Baselli not starting, though. I'm disappointed.
No.
I was psyched up to hear him
start.
Yeah,
he ran with the ones, but the starter, Alec Eberle, came back, and I'm happy for him.
What's he got, Eberle?
It was had a concussion, but then he had migraines. Well,
tell your kid to kick him in the head.
No. Alec Eberle.
It's the Baselli way.
No.
No, that's the Prisco way. No. Oops. He's like tying a shoe or something. You knee him in the back of the head.
If my kid can beat him out and earn the job, that's fine. But Alec Eberle's a great kid, and he's been good to my kid as an upperclassman.
I'm kidding around.
No, I know you are. He's taking care of my kid.
I might have thought about it back in the day.
So I'm looking forward to tonight. I'm a little bit nervous.
Yeah, I could tell.
I should. Yeah. I don't think you should be.
Why?
You worried about the quarterback? Are you nervous about your son?
No, my son. I'm not worried about anyone else.
If he gets in, then he's
– Yeah, I'll
be
nervous.
Ready for him to start. I wanted him to start. I wanted to – I was telling my wife the other day, I go, Tony's a little nervous about his son.
Oh, very nervous.
You know what she said to me? She goes, he's not going to the game?
No, radio.
No, you should have went to the
game.
No. That's what I told him.
If you were starting, you should have went to the game.
No. I've told my kids from
day
one.
He must have told you he wasn't
going. No, and I told him last week I was never planning on going.
Why?
My wife, my mom, and my old second son are going down. Because I told my kids from the start, I will not quit work. I told them from the beginning, I will not stop working, and I have a job to chase you around to watch you play football. I will get there. If I have no conflict, I will do everything in my power to go watch. And they respect it.
I mean, this show would have been a lot better if you weren't here tonight.
I mean, that might be the case.
Live call in Orlando.
go to the game, Vasily.
If you were starting,
I would understand. No, you should have been there.
No, I wouldn't have. Just like this. I'm not going to miss Jaguar games on Sundays to go to Florida State games.
No, it's no different.
First of all, I love what I do. I really do. I love working for the Jags. It's my job, and I'm not going
to
do it.
No, you can't go to every game. And you went to all his high school games because you coached.
Because I coached.
And you would have gone.
But guess
anyways.
What? I missed every year when we went to London. I didn't go to their high school game. I didn't tell the Jags. I can't go to London because I got a high school.
You got the majority of his games.
Yeah, and I'll go to as many games. I'll be there next weekend. I'll be there a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, he'll be fine. I mean, listen, he gets it.
Plus, you gotta cut the cord. You can't stand on the practice field like some dads used to do.
Nope.
No comment.
Not my job. I went to two practices during camp.
You guys know who I'm talking about, by the way.
Once I sat in the stands, and the second one was closed practice, and Jimbo was kind enough to let me sit on the sidelines and just stand.
I'm a big believer in letting a kid grow up and become his own man. You know, my dad was always around. He didn't go to practice or anything. He'd go to the games, but he didn't go to practice. There were dads who went to practice. I'm going to tell a story before we get into general.
True
story. Some kid's dad was a truck driver, big, giant guy. And he didn't think – he was sitting in a lawn chair all the time watching practice. He didn't think his kid was playing hard enough. During the practice, he comes running out. He was about a 6'3" and 270-pound man. He told his kid to get in a three-point stance and started hitting him in the forehead with his forearm and stuff.
Yeah.
And the coaches, it took about four of them to get that guy to the ground. The cops came and took him away.
Not good.
So you know what I did the next play? I go, look, there's your dad. No, there's my dad. Dad's too involved too much. Listen, sometimes.
Yeah. So I'm excited for him.
I can't wait. I want to see him play. I hope he plays tonight.
Very nervous. I got my Florida State shirt on for it. And actually everyone can see the Florida State. We're live tonight, aren't we, Joe?
On the video ish. We're kind of live ish.
Maybe someday we'll get
it. We're live ish.
Yeah, we're still in testing mode.
We'll get that.
No, Max just gave me the double thumbs up. We're on. We're streaming live.
Jaguars.com.
Maybe we'll get that Vasily into the hall someday down the road.
Yeah. I'll tell you this, he's a heck of a lot better football player than I was as a freshman. I'm dead serious.
Stop it.
Oh, way better, Pete. Than I was as a freshman? Yes.
In high school?
No,
in college?
In college, yes. No, I'm not saying. I mean, he's got a.
He got a long way to go to get to you.
Long way to go, but he was a very.
I hope he does, but he's got a long way to get to go to you.
He's a very good player.
Let's get to the Jaguars. Yeah. The cuts down to 53.
I don't know. I like talking about Florida State. I'm excited.
We can do another segment on the Noles.
He initially started it by talking about Alabama, by the way.
Yeah.
You just know where he came
from. Well, listen, you notice how we transitioned quickly to Florida State.
Yeah, that's right.
USC, ASU might even beat them this year.
We should have started with a 1AA team. That would have been a better game than USC.
Wow.
The Jags got the 53 and then had a couple of claims after that. What was the most surprising cut for you guys for the Jags?
We cut him pretty much on the spot except for the Josh Johnson.
And Nick Marshall.
And Nick Marshall. That was pretty much the only. We thought they might keep Tripp, too.
Right.
We saw Ryan Davis would go.
And Marshall's back in the practice squad.
Right, but we thought they might keep Tripp and Poulard, but then as it turned out, they let Tripp go, and they ended up getting Arthur Brown.
Yep.
Who's been a disappointment in Baltimore, but he had a lot of talent, so maybe a new scenery will help him.
Where did he come from?
Kansas State.
Yeah, he was a very good Kansas. He was a highly drafted guy.
Second round. He was a big thumper in a run game. He was good. But, you know, we cut this team. Bernadette, everybody's saying Bernadette was going to make it. We cut him. That was easy. There wasn't the offensive line. I didn't think those were easy cuts. You know, we thought at the end, Omamai would make it at the end.
Yeah.
So, and then the only real surprise was Josh Johnson making it over Nick Marshall, but he played himself
well.
Well,
the other one that surprised me a little bit that I don't think we had was Chris Smith. He had a great preseason, and if you were asking me.
You guys didn't.
Yeah,
I said it a couple times, and you disputed it.
Well, if you'd asked me at the beginning of camp, I did not see a pathway for him to make the club. And he did a great job. Hats off to him. He earned it. He had a very good preseason, very productive from that Leo position. So good for him.
Birdie told me that he had it, and you guys kept disputing it.
I know. But listen, at the end of the day.
I wonder what that could be.
At the end of the day, the bottom two or three spots on this roster, on any NFL roster, are always tenuous week to week.
Yeah. But, you know, we thought the safety would make it. That we called that one.
Jared Wilson.
Yeah, yep. We thought the only one.
Now,
was
part of that was due to the fact with the injury to James Sample. I'm not sure Jared Wilson makes it if James Sample doesn't get hurt.
I don't know. They might have kept him anyways. He's pretty good on special teams.
I'm not saying he's not. I'm saying, are you going to keep five safeties at that point? You're cutting somebody else. Because remember, there's an extra – they're burning an extra roster spot they haven't the last few years because they're keeping three quarterbacks with Brandon Allen.
Which, again, we both called. Right. What about were you surprised that Ryan Davis got cut? I wasn't.
No. At the end of the day, I was not.
The fan base was.
Well, he's a guy that's been has had some production rushing the passer from the three technique and good special teams player. But listen, when they moved him to Otto, it told you, all right, we got to find a position for him. And he was not a natural outside backer and hadn't played in space a lot, coming from the defensive end position. Tough transition for him. And
Gus hinted that he wasn't picking up the special teams as well as he did this summer, too. Do you hear a couple comments coming out of him about that? At least I did. So, I mean, if you're going to be the backup, the ninth, tenth defensive lineman, you better be able to play some kind of special
absolutely
teams.
Absolutely, you should.
Or linebacker, whatever the heck he was, the hybrid.
Well, another thing that he had done in the past, he was that third down nickel pass rusher from the defensive tackle position. But
they don't need him anymore.
You have Malik Jackson, Jared Otterick had a very good spring. You had Sheldon Day. You have
Marks is back.
Sheldon Day had a very good last preseason game. Marks is playing better. How are you going to get him on the field? He wouldn't be active on game day.
No. And then, you know, you go to the offense, the receivers, that came down to Ben or Walters. They decided
they ended up
both
keeping both.
Yeah, they ended up with both.
And they both, yeah. And I thought they would keep just one of them.
Well, they signed the safety who's suspended for the first game. I can't think of his name right now.
Marquestin Huff.
Marquestin Huff. Now, so they have a they're going to have to cut somebody next week. I don't think you're keeping six receivers.
No.
Because he how do you say his first name?
Marquestin.
Marquestin Huff is a very good special teams
player.
Right,
which is why
very fast.
So in that scenario, Ben would likely go.
So one of them is not going to
– Well, Ben played – the reason they kept him is for special teams. Right. So then you go to the backfield, they kept four. I mean, they were kept five, but then now they're down to four. That made sense. The tight ends, last week, that happened.
Well, it came down
– they were surprised. I bet they were surprised that the Jets picked up the kid and they couldn't plunk him on the practice squad.
Braden Bowman. One of four Jaguars that were cut that were claimed by other teams, by the way. The others? You want to hear the others?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who the others
are. Tyrone Holmes to the Browns.
That was surprising.
Thurston Armbrister to the Lions,
that's
a linebacker.
A little surprising, too.
Brian Body Calhoun to the Browns.
He had a nice preseason. Brian Body Calhoun had a nice preseason.
He's a
good little player.
Would have brought him back to the practice squad, I think.
He did a nice job. So.
That's a kid from Minnesota, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No real shocks.
And nobody's picked Ryan Davis yet.
I'll tell you where the tough decision would have been if Michael Bennett doesn't get hurt with the calf injury at the last preseason game. That would have been a very difficult decision for Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley, what they would have done there. Who was the odd man out at that situation, in that situation between him and Tyson Alualu?
Well, I think they would have peddled one of them, tried to get something, like a ham sandwich for him.
Maybe. But that would have been a tough – I mean, that would have been the toughest decision, and I think that's why there wasn't any big surprise because of that one injury. It freed up for them to put him in IR, stow him away for another year. They like him a lot. See what Tyson does this year. You know, Tyson's getting older. Every year you get older. I still think Tyson's very valuable to this team and does a good job in the rotation because of the flexibility he has at three positions.
And Tripp was a little surprising just because of the special teams. I thought they'd keep both him and
Hayes Blard.
Didn't you?
I did. I had to make it on the team.
Yeah. So the surprises for us are Tripp.
But they're not shocking. I mean, you're talking end of the roster.
There's
type
no
of guys.
Shock.
No.
None. Zero. Zippo. Nothing.
I think there was a conversation between Denard and Banyard of who to keep.
Because Banyard's pretty good on special teams, too.
But Banyard's a better running back than Denard.
Right.
Denard's better on special teams. That was the difference.
But Banyard's not awful on special teams.
No, but Denard's better.
Right, and they originally kept all five. And then when they had the claims, they had
to – Yeah, but that was, they kept all five knowing they were going to drop one of them.
They knew they were getting rid of one.
Yeah. Right. I mean, look, it's a good roster. When it's easy to cut a roster, that means you have a good roster. That's how I always thought that. If you know 45 definites and you got to go –
You have good players.
You got good players. It's a good team. They have good talent. They should win the division. I've said it all along.
They
got to
go do it. Now,
right.
Listen, all the stuff we've been talking about, all the, you know, the projections and hope and, you know, saying they're going to be this and saying they're going to do this and what we think we can do and the potential of this roster, throw that all out the window because now you got to go do it. Now they're for real. There's no more play a quarter, play a half. Oh, our first looked good against their first. Oh, if it was regular season, this would have happened. You got real deal coming in. You got arguably the best quarterback in the NFL coming in. I know
the best.
We'll break down the matchup here as we go on throughout the show.
Arguably?
It's
he's not the best?
It's
Tony.
Who are you arguing with?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Tom Brady.
No, he's better than Tom Brady. Stop it. He's better than Tom Brady. Now, career-wise, he doesn't have as many skins on the walls, Tom Brady.
But right now.
He's better than Tom Brady.
Not last year he wasn't, Pete. You watched tape last year?
There were mitigating circumstances last year. No Jordy Nelson.
Okay, fine.
Randall Cobb was a number two, not a number one.
Here's the deal, Pete. Every year, Tom does it with a bunch of no-name guys. Every year. So you're taking one receiver and all of a sudden the best quarterback in all.
Rodgers wasn't good last year?
No, go watch it.
He was better than
people,
yes.
I did a bunch of their games. I watched a bunch of all 22.
One of the great myths of 2015 was Rodgers wasn't any good. He wasn't as good.
I did not say he wasn't any good.
He wasn't as good.
He was good. Tom Brady was better.
I dispute that.
You don't think Tom Brady was better last year?
No.
I'll tell you what. Tom Brady loses one receiver, doesn't affect him. He still plays at a high level. Just because you lose Jordy Nelson, all of a sudden you go from being the greatest quarterback.
The championship game.
Oh, give me a break.
When he was getting pummeled.
Well, listen, you hit any of them.
Well,
you hit any of them.
Rodgers got hit a lot last year because his offensive line was banged up a little bit too.
Pete, listen, I think Aaron Rodgers is,
the best.
One, two, three quarterbacks. I'm not arguing it. I'm just saying last year – Tom Brady was better.
I'll say this before we go to break.
Yes.
Rodgers is going to win the Super Bowl. He's going to win MVP. He's going to win Super Bowl MVP. He's going to be Offensive Player of the Year this year, and he's going to lose on opening week to Jacksonville.
Wow.
I'm picking the Jags this week. I have for a while. I know Pete has as well. They still don't have Jordy Nelson back.
No, he's back.
I mean, I know, but he hasn't played.
But he's back.
He's been playing this week.
That's not the concern I have with the Packers. We'll get into the concerns with the Packers because there are concerns.
Yes. Guy's coming off an ACL, and he's a stretch speed receiver and has not done it in a game yet. It doesn't just come back all of a sudden. He's the Jordy Nelson of old. Great player when he was healthy. I think he'll be a very good player this year, but I don't have high expectations week 1.
And if he's not the same player, they're easy to defend because they don't run anything but ISO routes. That means your man, your zone against those guys, no picks, no rubs, no bunch formations. They're the simplest offense in the league to cover.
We will break this down as we move along tonight. Hey, Jags fans, kick off the season by cooling off September 10th at Adventure Landing Shipwreck Island Water Park from 11 to 3. Buy your ticket online using promo code JAGS for a special fan price of $20. It includes an appearance by the roar of the Jaguars. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Look and see how this week goes. He gives us flexibility. He's primarily playing a lot of will right now, and giving us that spot there where he can provide some depth there. And we'll just see how much he progresses. He continues to play, then we got to find a role for him. He's going to have a role on special teams. There's no doubt about it. Where he fits in defensively right now, ask me more towards the end of the week.
Gus Bradley discussing Miles Jack. Earlier today, the Jags are back on the practice field today. All 53 practiced. They're on the active roster. Nobody held
get
out
on,
today.
Get them on the field. I don't care what you have to do, you get them on the field.
I agree.
Miles Jack, let's go there.
One of your best 11 players. He's one of your best three linebackers, in my opinion. He's athletic. He runs. I think he's better at either outside position. I know it was only the fourth preseason game, but he is very instinctful. Runs, he hits, he's good in coverage.
Where do you play him?
I'd either play him at will or auto.
So you might sit down Telvin then.
Listen, I think
he's better than Telvin.
He's one of your best players.
So then say what I've been saying.
That's what I'm saying.
You disagree with me for
no, but
three
I would
weeks.
Play him at auto. I'd play him at outside, and I put. Listen, I've been saying for weeks now.
You put him at strong side.
I'd put him at strong side. Telvin at weak side. Puzz in middle, and I make Scuda your. In the rotation of first and second down at Leo.
And you change the way you play a little bit, right?
Well, I think
– You think he can hold up as
– Yes. Yes, I do. He is a power – look, I mean, you've seen him on the field. See how thick he is?
Yeah, he's thick in the lower body.
He is
sure.
A thick dude.
I would play him. I mean, look, one way or the other, he's got to be on the field, whether they do it that way.
And if you don't want to play him at auto, then I put him at will.
Right.
Yeah, the
Telvin's had issues. Telvin's a great athlete. Don't get me wrong. But he's had coverage issues.
And he
did last year at times as well.
And he takes some bad angles on run plays when he runs himself out of the run play.
I said to somebody in half, I was serious, and it'll never happen. Telvin's one of the fastest guys on the team.
Make him a strong safety.
Make him a strong safety. Guy can fly.
Right. Play him in a box.
He'd
compete with Cyprian for the job.
Absolutely. I mean, the guy is he's faster than Sip. He's faster than he's faster than any safety on the team. He's faster than a couple of the corners.
But he struggles in coverage as a linebacker. He's going to struggle.
Struggles only in coverage because he gets
sucked up
on the run.
Right.
At strong safety, you're not worried about it as much. It's a different read.
That would be going against the trend in the NFL of guys going from safety to linebacker.
Yeah, but he's 220.
Well, so is Deion Buchanan. Mark Barron.
Yeah, and 220 is
being generous.
Right. Generous.
Right.
That's after he ate his steak dinner and
Sua Cravens from
I don't disagree.
Right. I mean that's what I'm with you. Whatever it takes to get Miles Jack on the field, you get him on the field. The field. If it means getting Scooter off, then get him on and adjust the way you play defense. If it means getting Telvin off, get him on the field. You have to get him on the field for all downs.
I just know this. Right now you have two rookies. Because I consider Dante Fowler a rookie, as your Leo, who aren't big guys. And if I am an offensive coordinator, I'm going to run right at them and test them for multiple reasons. Pound them, take their legs from them, affects their pass rush, and everything else. I believe Dan Scuda is one of the toughest, most physical players on this defense, on this team. And I think Dan Scuda would be a great rotational guy at the Leo.
But he's not going to provide much pass rush.
He's not.
Well, first and second down.
Neither are the other guys either. What am I talking about?
On first and second down,
Second down is not first and second down anymore.
No,
it's 65% nickel, Tony.
Well, then, but guess what? In nickel, they're going to be in nickel. You put them back in a nickel. I'm talking your base personnel against 12 personnel.
You know what your base personnel is? Your nickel. That's your base personnel.
You're missing my point, Pete. Okay, let me restate this. In the old mindset of your base defense, where you have three backers
and four down linemen and four secondary
guys, I think Scoot would be a very good first and second down
Leo.
And I think he's a better pass rusher than he gets credit for, too.
He's a try-hard guy in the pass rusher.
But we've seen a lot of try-hard guys get close to double-digit sacks over the years in this league. And I'm not saying he's going to do that. Then you put your speed out there. It's a different game. I agree with that.
What about adjusting the defense to get those speed guys all on the field together? And if you don't think Jack can play, you do. I have my doubt. The way they want him to play, and it's kind of a waste the way they would play him up there, is it?
But that do that 20% of the time. They run over defense all the time where he'd be off the ball.
Right, which you just proved my point because they're in the nickel half the time anyway.
Well, even in their base personnel, they play over sometimes and he's off.
I still think he should be free to run.
Well, the one thing we agree upon
is he should be on the field.
He should be on the field.
No matter what.
I don't care where.
Right, he's got to be on the field. You think he will be? It sounds like they're leading.
And I wouldn't put him at Mike right now.
No, I wouldn't either.
Because Puz is better at Mike.
But eventually down the road this season, he might end up being the Mike.
Well, I don't know about this. Listen.
Next season, probably.
I know everybody's.
No, Puz is.
Anti-Puz here.
No.
Puz. I mean, it is.
Anti-Puz.
You are.
No, I'm not. I think he's
a fan base. Half the fan base is always looking, we're going to get rid of Puz. He's not good in coverage. He's not good at this. He's not good at that.
No spring chicken.
He's smart.
Watch the tape.
Right. He's
first and second down. One of the best run defending middle backers. And in coverage, he's not as bad as everyone says he is.
Because he's smart.
He's really smart. But guess what? He gets everyone lined up, which is important in football.
Tell me how you would start.
I wouldn't get rid of Puz.
Give me the 11 how you would start it. Tony Boselli, coach.
If I was.
Yeah.
What are we going? Is it nickel or base?
Base, but it doesn't have to be the base that they play. It can be the base. It could be,
I would have Audric. I'd have Malik. I'd have Roy Miller. I'd have Dante or Ngakoue or whoever your Leo is. I'd have Telvin at Will, Puz at Mike, and I'd have Jack at Otto. I'd have Jalen Ramsey and House, Gibson and Sip. In the nickel, I'd go Ngakoue and Fowler, Malik and Senderic, and Jack and Puz.
Day's going to get in there at some point, that nickel.
Well, he's a rotation guy.
Right. He'll be
Jack and Puz, He'll and then there. I'd put Jalen in at nickel and bring Makamura outside. So I do.
Do we?
Nobody's asking me, by the way.
No, but do you have to get off the –
Pete just asked.
Yeah, I did.
Do you have but nobody in this building.
I'm in this building.
Pete's
okay,
right
nobody
here.
That can actually do anything with it is going to ask me. That's what I would do.
But
and Scooter would be in my rotation to Leo.
Don't you got to get off the Otto, Leo? I mean, find how those best players work. And I think they're smart enough that they can figure that out. It doesn't have to be pigeonholed into being Otto. You know what I mean? If those are your three best linebackers, get them on the field.
It's
and make
not really. All it is a Sam linebacker. We just here in Jacksonville call it an Otto.
Yeah, he's a Sam linebacker. He's not a Sam linebacker in my book. He's a guy that needs to be free to be able to run
just
more.
Just run. You don't want him up against the line and getting
But they're not
around,
oh,
right?
Guys, that's what I'm trying to tell you. It's like 20% of the snaps
or
less.
Okay, but 20% of the snaps he's on the line. The other 60% of the snaps, they're in nickel.
80.
So that's 80.
And then there are 20 of these off the ball. And I mean, right. So it's a very small percentage is my point.
But I just think there's got to be a better way to use that speed than the way they're going to use it in there. That's me.
The other thing is down. When there are a bunch of times when he's on the line and they go slot to his side, he's walked out on the receiver with Otto.
Let me ask you this.
Which is another reason I'd have
on
Miles Jack
down,
in there.
On third down, who would you have in the nickel and linebacker?
I'd have right now, Puz and Jack.
Yeah, so you would say Delvin now.
I think Jack's better in coverage right now.
There's something that people in this town are missing sight of is because I like Delvin. I think Delvin could be a really special player. He's just got to limit the mistakes and limit the stuff he does when
eye violations. It's all eye violations.
Yeah.
He gets caught looking in the backfield.
You make eye violations, you get in the wrong spot and it's easy to block
over.
You. And you can block you.
Well, not forget the blocking. It's the
gap integrity.
It's not even that. It's the over top throws that he gives
about
up.
The run game where he's too.
He's actually pretty good in the run game.
Yeah, he sometimes gets
no,
to points
he,
where he
but he recovers. He's so fast. It's the coverage that I think the frustration around here this preseason that didn't improve over last year is the violations in coverage.
I didn't like his Olay last week, 2 weeks ago, when he Olayed the lead blocker. That bothered me. Remember? I showed you on the tape.
Right. At the end of the day, we're in agreement.
I think you are.
That yes. Jack needs to be on the field.
He's going to play. It sounds
a
like
lot.
He's going to play.
All the time.
He should.
I wouldn't take him off
the
field.
He's a guy I'd never take off.
Me
he's
either.
Too talented. This is a guy that was a top five talent.
Right.
If Miles Jack has no questions about his knee, he is gone. Top 10 for sure.
And he started flashing it last week.
Yeah.
Really flashed
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no doubt. The Southern Chevy dealers are giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand new Chevy Malibu. Register at your local Southern Chevy dealership today for your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more information. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Back to off season, what we found out about our team and OTAs and training camp, and we saw it in preseason, the first couple of games especially. But you know, that's something that we harp on. We like to start fast and finish faster. You know, it's not just how we start; it's you know the whole game, and it's the consistency. I think for us, the important part is to stay on schedule offensively. That's where I think in the preseason we had some first and 20s, first and 15s. You know. That's what we don't want to do. We want to make sure we stay on schedule.
Head coach Gus Bradley earlier today after the Jags practiced outside of Everbank Field. Jaguars Monday continues. Your calls coming up in the second hour. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco.
That's us.
Yeah, hey, it's good to see you.
Great introduction.
This is the last time you'll see me this year.
Huh? I know.
Thank goodness.
Stinks, man. That's not right.
Oh, did I say that out loud?
We want you out of here. We want you to go to the game tonight.
Not going
to
happen.
Would have been a better show tonight.
No, it wouldn't have been.
Absolutely.
Don't forget, your show got canceled. My show's never been canceled.
What was the name of the name the guy called him last week? Bag of Rocks?
Box of Rocks.
Box of Rocks.
I love that name.
It's pretty accurate.
I actually do too.
I wish I would have thought about that when you were playing.
It'd been a good name.
We'd have put that up on the behind your locker or
That'd
something.
That'd been good.
Box of Rocks.
Yeah.
He's talking about the offense there. Gus Bradley starting fast. All these claims and everything going on. Well,
what claims?
Well, the Jags claimed a couple guys.
Claims. How about you mean like players?
claiming to be great or something.
Let me start over.
Yeah, start over because you're doing an awful
the
job.
The Jaguars
right now,
claimed
this is
a couple
on TV.
Players off waivers this week. There have been a number of claims
but
around
none
the league.
Of them are going to do anything for the offense.
The Packers cut Sitton, offensive lineman.
There. Yeah, but that.
And he signed with the Bears.
Good.
Should the Jags have made a
no,
run?
No. He's over 30, I think 31.
He's 30. He turns 31, I think.
In the season. He has a history of back issues. Very good player. Not taking anything away from him. Rumor has it that weight has been an issue for him.
He's gotten chubby at times.
And
he didn't play as well last year. He was good, but he's not as good. He's 30.
And I guess
think,
the, is
I think
the
thought contract is an issue too.
Yeah, are you going to give a 31-year-old $10 million guaranteed? And I know everybody listening and watching the Jags thinks Luke Joeckel is like the worst thing that has ever come to town, and that's wrong. Well, I know we talked about this last week, but I'm going to say it again because I watched the tape. He did not play as bad as everyone thought he played.
I agree.
If you watch the tape, and it was his first start ever. He's younger, more athletic. He has good power. And what they do here, Josh Sitton is not a guy who's going to run the outside zone very well. He's just not. And Luke Joeckel, I mean, so if you're going to go sign Josh Sitton and put him where? You're not going to bench A.J. Can.
You're not going to bench.
And you're not benching Luke Joeckel.
Luke Joeckel either. It would have made no sense.
And I know everyone
and
listening
you don't
to us. Right,
backup money to be a back.
And I know everyone listening to us is like, get rid of Luke. Joeckel stinks. We need someone else. I mean, I've heard people say we should trade him. We should do this or that. They're wrong. Now, I can be proved wrong if he doesn't play well, and I'm fully aware of that. But I think he will play well at left guard.
Like every week last year when you prop them up at left tackle.
We had some honest moments on the show too, Pete.
Yeah, I know.
I was honest in my evaluation.
It took a while.
It took a little bit.
It took a while.
Yeah.
Remember we used to say he was like your adopted son.
I like Luke. I'm rooting for him.
I think he'll be fine at guard. I think he'll be a better guard than he was at tackle.
I do too. And I think Kelvin's going to have a very good year at left tackle.
That's something, and you guys know, I've been preaching that since March. And there were people around here that didn't believe it. Bernardo's going to start. Bernardo's going to start. Bernardo's going to start. No, he's not. In fact, Bernardo's not even on the roster.
Well, Chris Reed's better than Bernardo.
There were a lot of guys better than Bernardo. I bet Bernardo was an easy cut.
I don't think they took very long.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, I would not have gone after Josh Sitton. I know
me either.
Fans wanted to. But that's what fans do, and I'm not saying that negatively. Every time there's a big name that gets cut, go get them.
Names, not games.
That's right.
I always say that. It's games, not names. Not names, not names, not games. It's
you said it like three different ways. Can you get it straight one time?
Sport coat, sports coat.
No, that wasn't that.
Yeah, that it was. No, it was bad, Pete.
No, it wasn't. Dr. DP,
FFFCO. Yes, it was bad.
No, it's games, not names.
Okay.
Fans go names, not games is what I said.
That's better clarification because you were marble mouth for there for a
second. No, I wasn't a marble mouth. That's you, sports coat, sport coat, sport coat.
I just read what they put in front of me.
Did anybody say anything?
It's like Anchorman.
Did anybody say anything to you last week about me going DPS?
No. They like me better than you, Pete.
I don't think so. That's not what I hear in the street. And you know the streets
you're
talk.
You're in Miami.
You know the streets talk.
You're a Miami
Tony's
guy.
Tony's mean and loud and doesn't let anybody talk.
Those are all true statements.
And they thought it was really good last week when I called you out for that.
Well,
so did they.
I don't think it's going to change.
Oh, yeah.
You think it's going to change
me? No, because when I'm down there, you try and bully the microphone when I'm down on location. You can't. Yeah. It's not as easy when I'm here.
Oh, it's pretty easy. No. I have no problem with it.
I can just say two things, Orlando Pace, and that's the end of the conversation.
That doesn't bother me, dude.
That's awesome.
What are you chuckling about
that's
over
fantastic.
There?
That's fantastic. We'll come
you
back.
You know, that chafes me, too, by the way.
We'll come back. We'll get into the injury report.
Good I'm going to get a cup of coffee.
I'm going to get water.
Wake it up.
Not enough of this show.
Your phone calls coming in the second hour tonight. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Qualifying at home is, you know, it's our bread and butter. We try and win all our games. And, you know, of course, playing at home is important to us. It's important to continue to establish that dominance. So, yeah, starting off qualifying at home is important.
That is Tim Howard, Team USA goalkeeper, tomorrow night at Everbank Field, the United States in Trinidad and Tobago. The first caller in right now, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We'll get a pair of tickets to tomorrow night's World Cup qualifier.
Stop
here at Everbank.
Stop playing that. Why don't we do the 71st caller?
Because Joe doesn't want to work that hard.
Turn those, what are they called, vuvuzelas or
yes.
Get one of the 50 people voo-voo. Watching
is it
online to call in.
Is it vuvu or boo-boo?
Vuvuzelas.
Vuvu.
The American Outlaws will be here tomorrow night. I'm
Did
sure.
You hear? We have 50
Who are the Outlaws?
They're the American Outlaws.
Stop talking soccer. We have 50 people watching us online tonight.
All right.
Say hello.
Jaguars.com. Hey,
there
everybody.
You go.
Yeah, all right.
You can't pick your nose anymore, Pete.
Yeah.
I can, and I'll wipe it on you.
That in high definition, no less. The JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name, the Game Day Express. A new name, same great service, price, and locations. The Game Day Express. Take it to the bank this Sunday when the Jags face the Green Bay Packers. Hey, good news. The injury report. Well, there's no injury report. There's guys on IR and all that. But all 53 players practiced today. No injuries. Nobody held off.
That's pretty much the way it should be.
Yeah, better.
Season, right?
Well, the way camp is nowadays, I mean.
Yeah, it's too much.
You understand, they haven't played football in like 2 weeks.
That's true, yeah.
Well, it's really 10 days. But
so practice today. It's game week. So practice today, off tomorrow.
Off tomorrow.
Back on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's right.
Big physical middle drill on Wednesday.
Let's do it.
Not anymore.
That's what you guys used to do.
No, Tom was a big on, we'd have today off, and we'd go a Wednesday practice, which was 9-on-7 blitz,
right,
full pads on Tuesday. Another Wednesday practice.
On Wednesday.
9-on-7 blitz. Thursday practice, 9-on-7 blitz, full pads. So three full padded practices, and then Friday, Saturday, get ready for the game. This was the worst week because it was three really hard days in a row.
Tom was a grinder.
Not anymore.
No, now it's
no one does it anymore.
No.
Nobody.
But that started tapering off when he was still doing it, though.
Not for us.
No.
Before we went to break, we were talking offensive line. How's that matchup going to be against the Green Bay front?
Well, they have really good defensive
lineman.
Mike Daniels. Signed a free agent. I was hoping he would get to free agency because I'd like to see him here. He plays defensive tackle. He'll play both sides,
that's
but
really
primarily he'll be over
their defense.
Yes, but when it counts in nickel, he'll be over A.J. Cann more times than not, which will be a great matchup for A.J. Daniels is a powerful player, works power first. He does have some elusiveness. You know,
In my top 100.
Yeah, he's a very good player. Watching the third preseason game, you know, Julius Peppers is their left outside linebacker.
He's old, though.
He does not need to be playing in space anymore, Pete.
Well, they're going to limit his snaps, too.
Nick Perry will play more than Julius.
His snaps will be limited.
Yeah, Nick Perry.
That's not the concern. Remember I told you there was a concern? The concern is these down three. And the reason I say that is they thought Raji was going to be the nose tackle. He retired on him. Guion's
a good player.
He's been banged up in the preseason.
Good player.
Okay, now Kenny Clark is a guy they really like. The kid
UCLA.
At UCLA, he's been banged up. So now you go into the preseason, you got five defensive linemen, down linemen. Five. They only have five. Ringo's a body. That's, you know, he's a try-hard body.
Dean
guy.
Lowry's a rookie.
He's a rookie. They have problems on that.
What round was he drafted in, Pete? And where from? I don't have the board in front of me.
I think he was Louisiana Tech, and he was like a fifth rounder or
something.
Who's that?
Dean Lowry.
I thought he was a Louisiana Tech kid, but I've been looking at so many guys. Then you got this kid. Then you got a rookie linebacker,
Blake Martinez
from Stanford, who's a good player.
Good player. Jake Ryan's not the most athletic
guy. They're not fast.
Dean Lowry, Northwestern.
That's what it was.
And I'll tell you this. Clay Matthews is not – they're going to move him back. He was inside last year.
He's
going
outside.
Back to
that's
the right
smart.
Outside linebacker, which is smart. But he's not the same pass rusher he was. Now, part of it was because he didn't get the reps he did.
Oh, he'll be the same.
I think he'll be good, and that'll be a great matchup. And I like the matchup against Kelvin Beachum because Beachum's a natural pass rusher. I think he'll do fine against that. Their secondary is pretty good now, though.
Yeah, because the young kids have really gotten good.
Their secondary is pretty good. Demarius Randall, the A-State kid who was a rookie last year, very good player. Sam Shields, veteran, plays very well.
Rollins.
Ha-ha, Clinton Dix, your guy from Bama.
Rollins.
I love Ha-ha, Clinton Dix. Very versatile, flies around. Quentin Rollins, another rookie from last year. He'll be their nickel guy, does an outstanding job. And so we've got two good veteran safeties in Bennett and Morgan Bennett and Micah Hyde.
Burnett, excuse me.
And Michael Burnett
and
Micah Hyde.
Micah Hyde comes in on nickel and plays.
Right.
He don't start. But they got talent in the back end.
My point is their secondary is very good.
But the front end is not that good.
Yeah. I mean, Nick Perry's a nice player. Just, you know.
Yeah, he's okay.
Julius Peppers playing outside. First of all, he's not a natural outside backer. See, he is so big.
I think he's going to play more because of
the, he needs to play three technique on nickel.
The way the situation is.
That's what he needs to do.
To play down there. Then you got the offense. I mean, you talk about Bakhtiari's a solid player at left tackle.
Yeah, I like Bakhtiari.
Lane Taylor, nobody knows about. Nope. They like him, obviously.
J.C. Treader.
Starting, he won the job, even though Lindsey got hurt. He was the starter last year. Treader won the job. Lang is good.
Good player.
Bulaga's solid.
Bulaga's a very good right tackle.
Rodgers, the tight end.
Rodgers and Jared Cook are just average guys. Yeah. Randall Cobb needs Jordy Nelson.
Right.
Because Randall Cobb is a two. He is only good in the slot, and he can get swallowed up. You can redirect him. Now, if he catches the ball in the open field and gets some space, he is shifty and can make some moves. But you can redirect him quite a bit.
See, but I think Aberderis has gotten better, and I think Montgomery, when he was on the field last year, did some good things. The thing is, it all goes back.
I think Janis is better than Aberderis.
He can run.
He's a kick returner.
But he likes Aberderis. Here's the thing. The cure is Rodgers. He cures all of it. They're not great.
No, but here's the thing. What has to happen, if you look when the Packers have been good and when they've gone on their runs and they've won the Super Bowl and what they've done, they ran the ball well. Mike McCarthy offense, Pete talked about it. It's not complex. Not a lot of complex route combinations with rubs and everything else. A lot of isolation stuff. If they're not running the ball, they're much easier to defend. Eddie Lacy has lost weight. Looking at him in the preseason, he looks much better. He looks like the Eddie Lacy of 2 years ago. And if they get him going, then they are a very difficult offense to defend, because now what they do is they force you into that cover three, a single high safety, drop the extra guy down. Now those isolation routes, they get some man concepts. There's more space for Randall Cobb to work. But if you can keep those two high safeties back, stop the run with the front seven, they don't have a lot of answers for it, in my opinion, or at least it doesn't look like it. And I'm not an expert at route combinations. And at that point, their best play last year is when protection broke down and Aaron Rodgers starts running around and throwing it.
Well, early in the season, they were running those screen passes where the guys were releasing going down early, and the wide receivers were blocking before the – so I wrote a whole thing on it.
I remember that.
And they stopped – the league started calling those, remember? And then they stopped running them as much, so they blame me.
Way to go, Pete.
Hey, I'm just doing my job.
Well, it is against the
rules. You want to write it like this week before the Sunday game? That'd be great.
No. first week, can't write that stuff. You don't know what they're going to do. But they do only do ISO. I mean, it's mystifying to me why they don't run bunch formations and pick and rub more than – because, okay, we know what you do, so why don't you amend it, particularly when Jordy Nelson went out last year? Why didn't they bunch and pick and rub and screen, you know, everything that everybody else –
well, because it's all the West Coast stuff, so it's all level concepts. And
but if you can't win, you can't win. You got to find ways to win. You know, there were times last year where they actually did win with picks and rubs. Aberderis a couple times caught balls.
Pete. There was times watching the tape, and I'll be quick with this, JP.
There you go.
That I felt like watching the tape, guys were open, and Aaron Rodgers didn't trust it and didn't throw it on time. I thought the timing was off of their offense, and not just because of the receivers, but I thought at times it was Aaron Rodgers was off in his timing of getting rid of the ball.
Well, James Jones couldn't outrun me, and he was on the field.
I don't disagree. They had nobody could get separation. And one of the guys, Devontae Adams, who's a talented guy but couldn't catch a cold.
Right.
And so Aaron Rodgers lost all confidence in him, so he just go off of him. And I thought the timing was messed up. So, listen, Mike McCarthy's a good coach. Their offense works. They do different things. It's not as simple as Pete and I are making it. But it's a timing.
Sort of.
No, but it's a timing thing, Pete. That West Coast is all timing. And if your quarterback doesn't trust it and isn't trusting the guys down there and letting it go when he's supposed to, it's not going to work.
I know we got a break. When we come back, though, I want to talk about the simplicity of that versus the simplicity of Jacksonville's defense. Ooh. Because ideally, what they want to do on defense is pretty simple.
Right.
Joe Fortunato, who won the tickets?
Stephen McCowan scored the tickets, guys. He is not one of the 50.
Too bad.
The ticket.
He'll see the U.S. men's national team take on Trinidad and Tobago tomorrow night. Get complete details and get your tickets today at Ticketmaster.com. Your calls when we come back as well. 355-NFL-1. 855-635-1. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Play elite quarterbacks right away, Aaron Rodgers being one of the best. We have to be completely squared away and fundamentally sound. That's how you have success against those guys. If we make mistakes, make mental mistakes, those guys are such elite players, they're able to take advantage of that. So being fundamentally and technique squared away from the very beginning is going to be very important for us.
Jaguars middle linebacker Paul Posluszny in the locker room today. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. We're live on Jaguars.com tonight. If you want to check out the video, not yet. Oh, they're doing television now. Never mind. I lied. The first hour was, and you can check out the archive coming up.
Yeah, so I was told I look good.
You're hiding behind a hat.
Is your wife watching?
No, my Twitter right now is blowing up with, I don't want to say, but a lot of people saying I look good.
And our last half hour, we'll be back on.
Yeah. Okay, so 7:30. We're back on the
video. Only thing they did mention is we need to work on the lighting, or you need to put makeup because the glare is making
shiny.
It hard for everyone else to see.
A little shiny on my 5 head. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a 6.
Yeah, that's great. I need a hat.
Mine's about a 7, but it's dark, though, so it doesn't shine like
yours. I gave up.
You have those little baby hairs trying to sprout and fight.
They're trying to circle the wagons up there. Never know what happens. Phone line's open.
Dude, why don't you just shave your head?
Because it's a pain. I don't like shaving, period. You obviously didn't shave today.
I never shave.
We're on TV now. You might want to.
You shave.
Rarely.
How long is that beard?
No, but I usually use clippers. I don't shave.
What do you mean you use clippers? Like
clippers.
The hair clippers?
Yeah.
Like you'd use for your hair?
Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah.
That's why. You hate shaving too?
I hate shaving.
Me too. It's awful. During the season, I got to shave way too much. I can't stand it. And the razors, by the way, let me get this in. Razors might be the biggest ripoff in the history of mankind.
They're expensive, man.
Good razors?
Yeah.
You would know. You just use clippers.
I don't use
that's bizarre.
And you don't want to shave with bad razors.
Are they expensive?
They rip you to pieces.
Oh, they're. You get like a 3-pack of some of those, and they're like $20.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you use them more than once?
Yeah.
But not that long. It's a ripoff. It's one of the great ripoffs in history. And somebody goes, do the Dollar Shave thing. And I'm like, how do you know what those things are? Probably like those big remember those big chick big? What are they?
It was like 40 in a bag or something. Right.
Yeah. It's like you end up shaving your face to you're bleeding to death.
Right.
It's awful.
Do you use a straight razor?
No.
Like old fashioned?
No, but sometimes if you go get like a nice
bar. Oh, I do that now. I like that.
Yeah.
Like if someone else will shave me, I'll do that every day.
Ooh, that's a little too much information.
Risky. Yeah, I mean, watch out. We'll get to calls coming
up. Why did he ask him about shaving his head?
You don't want to see that.
No.
I've never done that, actually.
You should try it.
It would never come back.
No.
You might want to try it. It might look better.
I got bumps.
It can't look worse.
I'll say this. When I go in, I get it clipped down to a 1, Tony. It's like a 1 on the thing for the hair. You know, like
Yeah.
So he did it. One day I was actually on the road and I did it. And the guy goes, yeah, he went to regular like fancy barbershop and he did it. And I go, 1. He goes, I look and I go, 1. He goes, well, this is a different one than what you normally get. It was like nothing was there.
How'd it look?
Well, fine. I didn't care. I don't care. What do I care?
Yeah, I've stopped caring a long time ago.
Well, you should. You're single. You should care.
You should.
We're married. We don't care.
Well said, Pete. I was going to say it, but you jumped right in there.
A lot of chicks like bald guys, surprisingly.
They do?
Yeah.
They like the half bald.
Yeah, you just got to find the
the rare. It's a
right
rare breed.
Of,
it's like a unicorn.
The problem is when it goes in the back when you're your age.
That's a problem.
How old are you?
I'm 34.
Ooh, that's young to get rid of your hair.
Oh, stop!
I used to have a full mop when I was 34. True.
I used to have long hair in high school.
I had long
hair.
I had long.
I'd pay money for that to see that.
I had long hair too.
Well, you were a hippie.
I was a hippie. Now I'm a hippie. That was Osher. You got the wrong guy.
Yeah, it's a different writer.
Remember Osher's
ponytail?
It used to drive Coughlin crazy.
It's embarrassing.
Coughlin would walk by and he'd make a look on it. He'd go.
It was
everything and anything that Coughlin couldn't stand.
It was embarrassing.
For. Even
right.
John will laugh about it now.
Let's talk about something else.
Before the break, you want to talk about simplicity
of
the Packers and the simplicity of the Jags.
Well,
defense.
Ideally, if the Packers run their offense the way they want to run it, it's a simple offense. Like you said, isolation routes.
Timing,
run the ball,
get the ball out.
Timing, ball out. If the Jaguars run their defense the way they want to run it, it's a simple defense. Like Seattle's defense.
Cover 3.
Thinks it's complicated. It's not complicated at all. It's predicated on getting pressure and playing that cover 3 behind it with the safety down in the box. really simple concepts. And that's why I think Todd Wash will amend it a little bit this year and do some different things. And Seattle does too. But ideally, if Seattle's playing Seattle football, Michael Bennett and Cliff Averill and that gang up front are pressuring the quarterback from the inside. They're playing cover three behind it and coming up and tackling. That's what Jacksonville wants to do. Simple. Simple. Two simple teams. There's not a lot of Rex Ryan or Rob Ryan overthinking things and exotic blitzing and everything else.
Well, and listen, I'm a believer of that because the simpler you make it, the faster guys can play because they're not thinking out there. Now,
if you're good enough.
If you're good enough. There are fine lines to that.
Yeah, because people figured out a little bit of the cover three. They started running the four verticals and hitting them with that.
Absolutely. Four verticals is tough on cover three.
Back out of the backfield in this, like New England did in the,
get,
in the Super
go
Bowl.
Go get in the flat because you put a, you know, you put your Sam linebacker, auto linebacker in a bind and covering that guy. So every defense, those has vulnerabilities.
Correct.
I mean, that's just the way it is. Now, a lot of defenses are multi coverage and multi front and do a lot of different things. So you're kept guessing as an offense. I think you'll see more of that. I think you'll see more blitz and more different design blitzes from Todd Wash. I think you might even see some cover two, which is two high safeties in the mix with Todd Wash.
You're not going to see cover zero.
But however, but when you do too much stuff and you have guys thinking out there or out of position because they're not sure, which happens in a Rex Ryan type of situation all the time or a Rob Ryan in New Orleans, then that's when you give up these huge plays. You just get gashed because guys are out of position, running around or playing slow because they're not sure what to do. It's a very fine line. At the end of the days, it's not about X's and O's. It's about Jimmy's and Joe's at some level. Now, coaching matters, and good coaching can get the most out of players and put them in the right position to succeed. I think coaching is critical.
I would agree.
Because I've been around good and bad coaches.
But is it more critical than having the good players?
No, I think both are important.
If you had to have one, you'd have the good players.
Well, yeah, because those are the guys out there. But both are critical.
I agree they're critical, but one is more important than the other. And
fine, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying, but it's a fine line of how being too simple or too complex.
I agree with you. But if we
and I
back,
think they're going to get more, too. When Seattle was on their run, and it's still a very good defense, at their very base, they play cover three 80% of the time.
Correct. Simple. And that's what my point was going to be. If you go back in the history of this league in the last 30 years, not counting, I'm not going to go all the way back to the Bears in 85 because they were very exotic for the time. If you go back to the three of the best defenses that won Super Bowls in the history of this league, it was the Bucs. Simple.
They ran cover two every play.
The Ravens.
They played eight-man front. Now, they tried to play cover three against us a bunch, and they learned the hard way.
Right.
On Sunday when Jimmy Smith went for 265. The next time we saw a lot of cover two.
Right. But they weren't very exotic.
No.
No.
They didn't have to be because they could stop the run with seven guys up front, and they could pressure the quarterback with four.
Right, and then Seattle. So three of the best defenses over the last 25 years have been.
Was Denver complex last year, Pete?
No. They're not. They're not complex. It's Wade Phillips' defense.
It's a base 3-4.
But they got cover guys and rush guys. If you have cover guys and rush guys, you're going to have a good defense.
And to give an example of that for Jaguar fans, in 96 when we played Buffalo, I remember preparing for that, and one of the first things that Kevin Gilbride, the offensive coordinator, told us is these guys don't do very much. Buffalo would line up in a 3-4, and they might have had a Mike Sam blitz or a cross. But they lined up in the same front every single snap. They might reduce the defensive end to a defensive tackle every once in a while to give you an underlook or something like that. But they lined up, and then when they were in third down, they lined up the same four guys with two linebackers and a nickel every single snap. The mental preparation for that game from an X's and O's standpoint of what the defense was going to do and where they were going to be was easy. Now, it was easy for me every week because in our offense – me and Leon said, you guys block the defensive ends, worry about everything else. But it was – I remember thinking, like, these guys don't do anything. Because we were used to playing Pittsburgh, who did a lot of different things and zone blitz, and it was so complex, and we had this protection, this, and this blitz. But I remember thinking, these guys don't do anything.
But
and they said
it's because of
they don't
Smith.
Have to because they
Bruce
got
Smith.
Bruce Smith,
Bennett,
Phil Hansen, Bennett,
Tally.
They had some studs who could get after the quarterback. Right. Bryce Pop was playing defensive end at that point for them. I mean, they had some studs. And at the end of the day, they said, we're here. We just think we're better than you. Now, we went up there, and we beat them because we blocked them, and we scored 30.
Jimmy's Cowboys, same thing. Four-man rush. They weren't a blitzing team. They played four-man rush and covered. And when they had Deion, they played different kinds of coverage. But they that's
typically you see – now, the one exception is the old zone blitz, Dom Capers and
Steelers.
Well, he was with the Steelers.
Dick LeBeau.
That's what I was
saying. In Tennessee.
In Tennessee. They were very good defenses, and they were complex, but they were the first who introduced the zone blitz, bringing four to a side and using a backside defensive end to drop into coverage and replace. And so they give you – at the end of the day, they were – it was complex because of how they overloaded a side and the stress they put on your front of IDing where they are coming from.
But once everybody ID'd where they were coming from –
once you figured it out, it made sense.
Right.
But it was
the newness of it.
And ball getting out into the quick into the middle of the field became a problem.
And guess what? Every defense, that's why it's an evolution. It's not like cover three is this brand new coverage. I mean, it's one of the base coverages you teach in high school. What Pete Carroll and Gus Bradley and that staff said is we're going to play this because everyone had gone to cover two and four and six and all these exotic coverage. We're going to get our guys. We're going to rush the passer. We're going to stop the run with the eighth guy in the box. We're going to play this cover three as our base coverage, and we're going to play faster than everybody else. And it worked. All of a sudden, offenses start saying, all right, we can protect. There's different route combinations for verticals, you know,
levels. You get the corner drop, and you run a level, and you run the tight end underneath them.
You know, you get that, you know, where the backer, you know, curl flat, and there's a little seam between them and the deep safety. There's all kinds of little holes there that teams start figuring out. No different than the zone blitz. By the time we start playing a lot, you start getting reads, you figure it out, and all of a sudden you're hitting voids. And all of a sudden, you pick it up. Now there's, you know, cover Tampa 2. Remember forever, Tampa 2. Oh, no one could, you know, you can't move the ball against Tampa 2. Well, it helps when you have John Lynch, Warren Sapp, you know, Derek Brooks.
Simeon Rice,
Rondae Barber. And it was a very sound defense.
And the linebackers, all those linebackers.
They could run. But, you know, guess what? Offensive coordinators, you start seeing there's different holes that, you know.
Well, once the middle linebacker dropped out, the crosser was
The crossing's wide open. So we're going to hit – I mean, so there's different things that – It continues to evolve, and I think what you're going to see this year with the Jaguars because of that. Listen, Gus Bradley, everyone says, well, he's just, you know, cover three, he's from Seattle. Do we forget where Gus Bradley came from?
Tampa, too.
That was his bread and butter.
Right.
He went to Seattle and introduced that. So don't think for a second. Guess where Todd Walsh came from? Tampa, too. Monty Kiffin's an advisor on the staff. Don't think for a second that this is a team that's just going to run cover three on the, you know, the quote-unquote Seattle defense.
I mean, ideally, you'd like
That might be their base defense, but they're going to do a lot of different things.
Ideally, you'd like to stop the run with your seven and play cover two. If that's ideal,
we used to say all the time, if we get cover two,
run
coaches,
it.
Quarterback, everyone would tell us, if you guys can't block these guys and we can't run the ball, it's going to be tough to move the ball.
Well, that's what Peyton used to do. He'd come to the line of scrimmage, you were in cover two, he's going to check to a run. If you were up in the line of scrimmage, you were going
to
throw the ball.
That's right. But you have to block them.
They weren't complicated. The Colts were never complicated.
No, they played right and left with the receivers.
Right. They were never complicated. They just did what they did better than what
that's
you
right.
did.
Let's go to the phone lines.
Really when it comes to down, Pete, to a lot of times.
It's, right.
Who executes better. And that's what Gus will tell you. Why they go simple and what they do is because they say, we need to execute. We need to play faster and better and execute better. We're going to do that because we're not going to overload.
Jimmy Joe's.
John Robinson, when he became the coach at USC, he said, we're going to do these three offensive plays, run plays, really well. And we're going to do it till we're better than everyone else. We're not introducing all this other junk until we do these better than everybody else.
Student body right.
That was one of them.
They could have used that the other night, by the way.
John Robinson was there at the game.
Yeah, he was.
Must have thrown up in his shoes.
Yeah, I bet he did.
That wasn't good.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We'll start it off with Chris on the west side. What's up?
Hey, guys. Before I get into my take, Tony, remember a call from last week, a Leo from Mandarin saying Miles intimidated Telvin?
Yeah, kind of. I try to block out dumb things, but maybe.
He called in the drill the next morning and made it pretty clear about your lack of radio etiquette, and he was never going to call the show again. And Prosser said he was going to give it a talking to you, but I don't think that conversation ever happened, did it?
Tell Prosser to shut up. You can call the show tomorrow and tell Prosser that's what I said.
All right.
I love Prosser. I'm joking.
I love Prosser and Hickett, too, but they're the kings of radio etiquette?
Yeah. I don't know if anyone's heard Prosser in the morning.
Try and catch him at like 6:30 some morning.
Oh, my gosh. He's screaming at us. No, I love him. And Leo, I'm sorry if I hurt Leo's feelings, I apologize. I'm not even sure why I hurt his feelings. And he's welcome to call in. If he doesn't, oh, well.
He used to call my show with that name and a couple different names, too.
Oh, he's one of those. He makes up names. So maybe he'll be Rick from Mandarin next time.
Chris, what else you got tonight, man?
So I've got my mind on the goal line packages. I'm not certain that Chris Ivory is going to make us into the goal line offense we want to be. And particularly if Chris Ivory gets injured, I think we're going to pass it a bunch. I've got two stats for you. First of all, you guys are probably already aware Blake Bortles led the league in passes inside the 10-yard line last year. But one thing you might not know, in 9 years of Greg Olsen being a coordinator, he threw in the red zone 58% of the time. I think that tendency is going to win out over anything else. What do you guys think?
Well,
thanks for the call.
It's interesting stats, but the red area is
the green area, as Tom calls it.
Or green area is 20 yards and in. And typically teams throw the ball about 60% in this league. So I don't think you're going to see a huge change in statistics as far as percentage of run pass until you get, you know, your goal line offense doesn't even come into play until you're about the four yard line.
Goal line offense, please. You know that's what pet peeve of mine.
I know, but I think it's a very viable
pet peeve?
He doesn't like going big personnel on the goal line. He wants to spread out everyone all the time.
And run it.
You're a Pac-12 guy.
No, and run it on the goal line.
Anyways.
I'm okay running it.
We'll talk about this later.
Be a man.
I think the goal line package will be very good. I think Chris Ivory is a very good short yardage back. He's a powerful, bruising back. And more than anything, we're going to be way more physical at left guard with Luke Jokel in there instead of Zane Beatles. And we're going to be way more physical.
Stay Puft Marshmallow Man would have been more physical.
We're going to be way more physical and be able to move people off the line of scrimmage at center with Brandon Linder. As
I
well,
agree.
And so I completely disagree with Chris. I think it was a very informative call. It's very interesting. I think the statistics are a little bit misleading because you're talking in inside the 20. A lot of things change once you get to the goal line, and I think they will be a heavy run team, 3 yards and in.
You're going to argue
down in distance
because I can see he's got break on his mind over there. So after this break, you're going to argue with me about bunching up.
Okay,
I like it. I can't believe you don't like it, Pete. He doesn't be right up your alley.
He never wants to run the ball.
No, I do want to run
ever,
the ball.
Ever.
Wow. I'm a big believer in running the ball when you got the lead.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over there today for details. More of your calls when we come back. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
BRI Productions is the Southeast premier full-service event company with everything you need to bring your next event to life. Visit BRIProductions.com and learn more. JP Shadrick, Pete Prisco, and Tony Baselli. Jaguars Monday continues. Phone lines open, 355-NFL1. So, before break, we'll get to around the league coming up a little bit later, by the way. You don't like to pound it at the goal line, Pete. Why?
I don't. I mean, it's not that, not all the time. It's not a steadfast rule. I just think that every team in the league makes it a steadfast rule a lot of times.
It's not true.
Yeah, a lot of them.
No, it's
of
not true. Have to. I mean,
when
you did not watch
the,
last year. They were
the
spread
two,
all the time.
When you get to, well, they
you
had to.
You honestly,
had to.
You honestly say things
well, they had to,
based on your beliefs that whether they're
no,
true
they
or
had
not.
To. They had to last year because they couldn't run the ball at all.
Well, you just said everyone does. Now they.
Ideal world.
JP, you listen to this?
Ideal world.
I am. I'm
ideal
right
world.
Here.
Ideal world. Would you have liked that? Would they have liked to have bunched up and played power football?
I think it depends on the situation. I think both are viable options for an offense to do.
But here's where my pet peeve comes into play. You go bink, 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 bink in a spread, right? You spread the ball out, drive the ball, and then all of a sudden you get inside the 4-yard line, and here comes the jumbo pass.
Okay, you want to know why? Can I explain to you why?
I know why. You're going to talk about the edge. You've said this before.
No.
Why?
Okay. The reason you spread them out in the field, and it's easier to move the ball because there's a lot more distance and area for the secondary to cover. So now your safeties have to be at 15 to 20 yards deep to cover and to have to keep integrity of your, whether it's cover three or two or whatever the coverage system is. All of a sudden you get down to the 4 or 5 yard line. Those safeties can sit at linebacker level. And so now, though, even though you spread them out, you still have more men in the box than you can block.
If I go to a four,
go ahead and answer that now.
And if I go to a four receiver spread, okay,
yeah,
and I have the back behind me,
okay,
okay, they're in. They're gonna have to cover those four.
Two
guys.
By two.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Great.
So how many? So there's four down linemen, so that's eight. Two linebackers, right? That's 10. So there's only one more in there. Then there's six in there. So you're talking about the safety. So that means you got one-on-one coverage on those receivers.
Well, they're always one-on-one outside.
Right.
So, and they can play the safety. They can play. So you have four guys. That means you have seven left, right, in the box. Four guys covering those receivers. You have seven
right,
guys left. Oh, let me finish.
Right.
You have seven guys left in the box.
Right,
correct.
Correct.
And
if
you
the
have five.
In there.
You have five. Hold on, I'm not done yet. You have five to cover them. Those safeties can play outside leverage to play combo coverage of those guys because you're always leaving those outside guys one-on-one playing inside leverage, and that's why the teams go to the fade route all the time. Because it's a good route, and it's where they're vulnerable, and it's a tough throw because it's a small window, so defenses will give
well,
that.
Well, there's only one safety there usually.
No, yeah, but so you have seven guys with five to block that are within the box level to come down and make a play.
No, there's
now,
six to block.
No.
You're not counting the back. You're talking about running the ball.
Okay. Yeah, if you run the ball.
Okay, but.
Now, and so in the route combinations become very crowded, very small window.
But the safety's on one side of the field or the other. So the seventh guy, you can eliminate him by checking to a run away from him.
Pete, there's four covered.
Four covered. Two linebackers.
Okay, hold on.
One safety.
You don't have to have two linebackers in there.
But they usually do.
Okay, great.
Okay, so now, so how many safeties are there, Tony?
It doesn't matter. There's seven bodies, Pete.
But how many safeties are there?
It doesn't matter what numbers they are. There's seven guys there to defend the run.
You're talking
now,
about covering
that's
the
where,
receivers.
That's why all the time what you see is because of that, those guys have outside leverage, and that's why that underneath handoff works, running zone, and it cuts back up inside so that backside safety can't make the play.
If I come to the line of scrimmage and I have two
and
by,
it's hard to throw in the tight red zone because there's not a lot of windows.
If it's two
that's
by,
why you get your big look, personnel you know, and you run right at them, you move them off the ball, and you score touchdowns, Pete. That's how you do it.
Like a man.
For a guy who couldn't run block, according to Dr. Z, he's sort of hyped up about it.
Why do you have to? I can't say anything bad about Dr. Z because he's like on his deathbed. Because
that's one of my all-time pet peeves. Is he
isn't
no
he, isn't he really talking. Sick?
Yeah, he had no idea what he was talking about, though.
Well,
Tony.
Well, I can't talk bad about a guy who's not doing well.
I got two by two, okay? And a running back behind me.
I need a pen. Give me a pen.
Give me this pen.
Okay, let's do a little math here. Go ahead.
Okay, let's write this. Now, this is awful radio because no one else can see
it. No, we're going to describe it.
It's not on video.
All right, I'm going to put it up. So we put an X, a Y,
we'll
and a
tweet
Z.
This.
Something like that,
we'll
right?
We'll tweet this also.
Right there, and an H, okay?
Okay.
And let's say you have four down.
We're diagramming play.
Right.
All right, so you have a corner, inside leverage, corner, inside leverage, right?
You have another corner, two other corners over there.
No, you're going to have a safety walkout or a nickel, okay? Your nickel backer is going to be here.
Where?
Your nickel
defensive
backer,
left?
Your nickel back.
Your nickel back.
Okay, you got to have another one over there because you're going to be. Walk out your safety that way?
Free safety,
okay,
right?
Right.
So that's
where
one,
putting,
two,
where put,
three, four,
two
five,
linebackers.
Six, seven, eight.
Two linebackers.
Right?
Two linebackers.
You have a backer. Let's go like this. You have backer, you're a backer here, and strong safety here.
Okay.
So these guys can play here. Now,
Now you got a backer.
One,
here.
Two, three. You make them anything you want, Pete. You can put the free safety
right
there.
Okay.
You have one, two, three. Because usually you might go dime personnel if you have four receivers. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven guys. For one, two, three, four, five to block.
Correct. But if I run here,
it's not on video. We'll put it on Twitter here in a second.
But you're also saying that this guy's never going to walk out like over here.
They're not going to worry about it. No, never. This guy is. They're running three against these two.
Okay. Tony. If this guy's here, okay, right here, and he blocks here, he blocks here, he blocks
here.
This is awful
radio.
Oh, it's
here,
terrible.
You run away from him.
What about these guys?
He blocks here, and he blocks here.
So you say the defense goes left. You run left.
Run away from the strong safety.
First of all, what they do is they do this, and where they double up here, and this usually cuts back right here because you're stealing it right there, and that's where.
Or you can run over here.
No, that's where it happens right there. Or go watch every play.
Or you could put a bunch of heavy personnel in and just crush everybody.
They block people, JP.
Right.
Where's the art of blocking? Bama does it. I watched it.
They got the best players.
So do the Jaguars.
So does everybody in the NFL. Let's go.
I mean, you're not the Dallas Cowboys up front, I don't think.
We're close.
No,
hand me
you're
that,
not.
Hand me that diagram. I'm going to put it on Twitter.
There's not much there. I kind of scribbled on it, Jay.
There's a big difference, Tony, between the Cowboys and the rest of the offensive lines in the NFL, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, they're very good. Nick Martin.
And Lyle Collins is a beast at left guard now.
What a pickup for them.
Oh, my gosh. And Doug Free played good last year at right tackle.
Yeah, Doug Free's serviceable right now.
They're not weak at any spot. And they're above average at four of them.
How many teams wish they had gone after Lyle Collins now?
And some teams could have played him at tackle even if they had to. They don't need to.
I had him in the Senior Bowl. I coached that year in the Senior Bowl. He's a better guard than tackle.
I think he's Larry Allen-ish.
He's not that strong.
Watch some of his tape, Tony.
Pete?
I mean, Larry Allen was a beast.
He's not that strong.
Larry Allen, are you kidding me?
No, he's
Pete,
got.
Pete, just stop.
He's got that ability.
Pete, he does not have Larry Allen's ability.
He has that type of
ability. Oh, my gosh.
Whoa.
JP, don't listen.
Throw it out there.
Lyle Collins is a good player, but he's not as strong as Larry Allen.
He's also in his second year.
He has never been as strong as Larry Allen was stronger in high school than Lyle Collins is right now.
Larry Allen was good. Great.
Great. Come on, he's a Hall of Famer.
But Lyle Collins has a chance to be really good, like Hall of Fame good. That's all I think he could be, Hall of Fame good.
Heard it here first, Pete. Right. I mean, people, Pete Prisco, Lyle Collins for the Hall of Fame in 2043.
Right after I get you in 2042.
Who gets in first?
2040. I'll still be banging that drum in 2042. Let me see, how old will I be there?
2042, oh, God.
That's what, 30?
26 years.
26 years, I'll be...
You might be dead.
81, I might be dead. And you'll be, how old will you be?
I'll be 70.
So I'll be 81 and you'll be 70. We'll be all the way up there. That guy needs to make it. Well, Dr. Z said he wasn't a good run blocker.
That hurts, Pete.
That's fair.
That was one of, he used to say that when you were playing. And I used to dispute him all the time when he was.
We only were number two in the league in rushing for like 3 or 4 years in a row, whatever it was.
It was everybody else, though.
Helped having Fred Taylor.
In the news last week, Fred Taylor.
Yeah, we asked him about it. We'll check that. Let's go to the phone line. Jordan is on the south side tonight. What's up, Jordan?
Hey, what's up, Tony? And
I'm
everybody.
Great.
Hey, Tony, by the way, Carlos Cruz says.
Jordan, hold on.
Yes, sir.
Can you say that again? What's up, Tony, and everybody else? Because that's the name of the show, I think. Tony and everybody else. Say it again.
Well, your mind it
Tony,
is.
Technically, Tony's like family member because he knows Carlos Cruz. So, family friend right there.
Yeah. Who's Carlos Cruz?
A buddy. We're dropping anyway, buddy name. What's up, Jordan?
My one thing is I think it's going to be a mental game this year for the Jaguars to where they face adversity because everyone's always hyping them up and making sure that everything's going to be great because we got all these stud wide receivers. But really, though, you just got to look at it one simple thing. You go out and do your job, just like I do every day. So, I mean, I want to see how they're going to be against adversity and then how they want to win games and if they carry that on to the week of practice thinking that they're going to win all these games. So, I'm just worried that they get overhyped.
So you're thinking they're going to – Jordan, so let me just make sure I understand. You think they're mentally weak and you're worried about how they – when it doesn't go their way, how they'll handle it.
You know how – it's almost like, you know, when some teams, they don't know how to win. Like, I was on an 0-12 high school football team. We won our first two games – against like a 3A school and we were a 6A school and we were getting our big heads.
Yeah.
And the next week we go play against Lincoln High School and they kick our ass. You know, I mean, excuse me, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
They kick
don't
our
worry
butt.
About it.
And so that's just something that I'm worried about.
Well, Jordan, I think, I don't know if everybody's hyping them up. I don't think there's a national rage of hyping the Jaguars up.
No, but I picked them
up. But I think, Jordan, the one good point you make is how they handle adversity, and when things don't go your way, how does this team react?
And do they not make mistakes?
Because
mental mistakes and penalties and everything else.
I am a big believer you have to learn how to win and how to handle winning and how to do it. It's a mentality. And the last thing you want to happen is – now, I don't think it's going to happen because this is such a young team. Excuse me. Such a young team.
You're getting choked up
over this. Very emotional. But –
topic.
You don't want them, if things start going bad, let's say in Green Bay early, you don't want the attitude of here we go again.
You also don't want them to doubt themselves.
That's my right, point. You right. don't, here we go again. Then the good teams, no matter what the situation is, no matter what the scenario or what adversity they hit, is like, all right, we're fine. Let's go. We're fine. No problem. Just right. get the ball back. We'll be fine.
Down 10-0 doesn't mean you're
doesn't
done.
Mean anything.
It means you're going to be able to come back.
That's right.
From that.
And that's the mentality which I think Jordan is trying to communicate that this team needs to have, and he's looking to see if they have it or not. I think they will.
Playing out the season comes out tomorrow, by the way, just to agree.
Look forward to that.
And I, by the way, I think Peter King's also going to pick Jacksonville to win the division. I saw something he wrote today about
two
normally bottom feeders he's picking to win the division. So that would be Jacksonville and
Tennessee's Oakland. The hot pick right now, too.
They look good in the preseason. Yeah, then they get to the regular season, and their 1970s offense morphs into what it is, which is 1970s
offense. Exotic smash mouth.
It's terrible.
Get ready, Nashville.
I still don't know what that means.
Build a team around the kid.
They are Derrick Henry.
We're back in a moment. We'll look around the National Football League. We'll still pick games, too. In the final segment tonight, we'll pick the Week 1 matchups in the National Football League. Thanks for your calls tonight. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco, Jaguars Monday rolls along. Week one.
Rolling along. Is that roll tied along?
Yeah, it is.
See how you got that little shot in, too?
I can't wait till we play Arizona State. Yeah. That's my next chance of redemption.
Marquise Lee was not happy with me today either, by the way.
Oh.
If things start if things start going against Arizona State, they play Texas Tech this week, they'll probably lose that game. Then I hope USC and every other school in the Pac-10 pounds them because season's over and then maybe they'll get rid of the coach.
You don't like that guy.
No, I don't think he's a very good coach.
What's his name?
Like Todd Graham.
Graham, yeah.
He took off his wristbands, though, so that's a step in the right
direction. I never understood the wristbands.
He didn't have them on the other night. It was 95. They redid the stadium. Did you know that? In Tempe, the stadium.
They
was
built
old.
A new one, or they just
no,
redid
they
the
redid
existing
it.
One.
They redid it. They're in the process of redoing it. Nice. They got so much money in that school. They got the biggest school in the country, and they don't. It's unbelievable how they don't win. You got to start building like these massive weight rooms and indoor structures.
The
like
facilities colleges have nowadays.
It's unbelievable.
Unreal.
I was watching the Iowa game. Did you see the Iowa strength coach makes like $700,000 to $800,000 or something?
Alabama's guys the same way.
And you see the weight room? It's unbelievable. Did you see Alabama's indoor practice facility?
Mm-hmm.
It's
go to Florida State. It's unreal.
The money.
Unreal.
See, that's what I want Arizona State once in my lifetime to cheat and pay whoever the heck they need. Just win me a title in my lifetime, then you go on probation. I wouldn't care.
How many like titles, SMU or something.
How many titles does USC have after they went on probation?
That's a great question. Tony?
Alabama's not clean in this area, JP.
Tony, you didn't answer the question. You deflected.
Why? What I can't figure out is why nobody goes and investigates Alabama. I mean, there's got to be something going on.
They have. Well, yeah, winning. What's going on?
Just stop. Come go on around the league.
Go around the National Football
League. It's nauseating.
Sam Bradford traded to the Vikings after the Teddy Bridgewater injury. First of all, the injury was – that's an injury where he could lose his leg. I mean, if it's bad enough.
Not lose his leg, but he could end up with nerve damage and drop foot.
Absolutely. The whole thing.
It is, I mean, technically life-threatening because there's a blood vessel there that if you don't get under control, you can bleed to death.
But they did say that it wasn't nerve damage in effect.
There was no nerve damage, which is good because a lot of times that's what happens. It ended Tavian Banks' career here in Jacksonville in 99. And
Jalen Smith.
And Jalen Smith, his still hasn't come back yet.
And it's concerning.
It's very concerning. What happens is you have a nerve outside on the outside of your knee. When that knee dislocates, it damages the nerve, and that's the nerve that helps you pull your foot up so you can walk and run. And if it doesn't come back, you can't play football.
Do you like the I think the trade for Sam Bradford was good for both teams.
They gave up a first and fourth.
Yeah, but what it tells you is this, and I agree with the Vikings and Rick Spielman, the general manager, for doing it. You have a 31-year-old Adrian Peterson who has probably 2 years left in those legs because he's a freak. You have a very good defense with a very good defensive coach and a good head coach overall in Zimmer. You've rebuilt your offensive line. You're still average at wide receiver, but you're okay.
You got Treadwell there too now.
And this is – you have Treadwell from Ole Miss. and you feel like you're a team in the AFC that can contend to go to the Super Bowl if you have a quarterback.
NFC. Yeah.
If you have a quarterback. And so I'm fine with giving up on one.
I am too.
Because how often does an Adrian Peterson come along, and how often is that guy in your backfield? And you have to do everything you can to give yourself a chance right now.
Window could be closing.
It could close
really
fast.
Well, here's the other thing about it. They won a division last year, then came within a missed field goal at the end of the game of beating Seattle and going to the divisional round with a quarterback who didn't do very much last year. So if Bradford does a little bit more, who knows? And North Turner is really good with quarterbacks like Sam. And Sam Bradford is better than people give him credit for.
He is. And he'll be much better in a system that is not Chip Kelly's.
Right, drives the ball down the field.
It's more traditional. He can throw it. He's a smart
play action.
He's a smart kid.
I think it's a great move.
I thought it was a good trade, too.
But it's also a great move for the Eagles because they get the one back that they gave up to go get Wentz, and now they play the kid. He's starting.
The interesting thing about the Vikings, if you're the team, if you improve on what you were last year, that means you're going deep in the playoffs. And
your pick
is basically it's a late first round pick.
And they're in a situation now where they got so many young players that they drafted early that are going to be coming up. They're going to have to give them contract extension.
I'm fine with it. The interesting thing to me is that they're starting Carson Wentz after basically 15 preseason plays.
Well, they obviously saw him all
summer. I get that, Pete, but that is a lot to ask a guy.
You're taking the season. I mean, I'm okay with it. Get on with it because he's going
to be. You wouldn't have even started Chase Daniels for a game or two.
That's
just
a
to
gimmick.
Let.
No.
So you're about getting the kid out there.
Get
no
the
matter
kid.
The
play the kid. I'm playing the kid. Except in Denver, because I can see what they are. They're really dominant on defense, and you think they're going to be good no matter who starts the quarterback. But I'll tell you what, that kid doesn't play well in two games, he's out, the kid's going in.
You wanted the kid to play here, too, right
away.
Yeah.
I did. I'm a big
believer. And he ended up doing it. I tend to lean towards Pete on this one. Everyone says, oh, you can mess him up. You can mess him up if he gets hit too much. I don't buy that because if you're not mentally tough enough to get through that, then you're never going to be a great quarterback anyways.
Right. You drafted the wrong guy.
I mean, Troy Aikman got killed his first 2 years. He ended up a Hall of Famer. Blake Bortles was the most sacked quarterback in the first 2 years of his – and he is mentally fine because he's mentally tough. And you can give me a long list of guys that I don't think they ever would have been good.
No, and everybody always points, well, look at Aaron Rodgers. He sat – if Aaron Rodgers would have played year one, he'd have been just as good as he always was. You either have it or you don't.
I agree with Pete.
J.J. Watt passed the physical, cleared to practice, herniated disc surgery in July.
That doesn't mean he's going to be the same guy, though. Let's slow that roll down.
He had
some
core muscle injuries last year, too.
But let groin. You know, Tony.
Injuries start piling up.
Did you have back problems ever?
No, but overall.
Do you know guys that have back problems?
Yes. Here's the deal. When you have injuries and you get older, I don't care who you are, and he's had some soft tissue with the groin and the hernia and now the back, they start stacking on each other, and age and father time, and you're not the same player you were before when you were 100% healthy or close to it and a young man. So I still think he'll be a very good player, probably a dominant player, but it's not a given. You still got to go out there and get all your strength
back.
It's
your back. And back is nothing you want to mess around
with. Ask Tiger Woods how that works out.
Right.
Right.
I mean, it's a back. That's concerning.
Can we go back to something else? Are we done with J.J. Watt? Because the story doesn't interest me much, to be honest with you.
It should. He's in the division.
Yeah, we don't play until December. Like, so many different things could happen before then.
Go ahead.
December or November? Late November?
It's
late.
They're both in the second
Heck
half.
Of a player. Pete made
the
point.
But you'd like to see him. You'd like to see him. You as a Jaguars guy, wouldn't you like to see him struggle a little bit?
I'm indifferent right now.
All right.
Honestly.
Let's go back. What do we miss?
Jared Goff. There has to be red flags going on, at least there are for me, that he is the third quarterback in St. Louis and did not look good at any point in the preseason.
Well,
Los
Angeles.
They're good enough to get to the postseason.
That's not my point, Pete. He's the third quarterback.
But why not? I mean, I think if you're not going to start him, then why not just make him the third quarterback?
Watching him in the preseason,
he did some good things. It's hard to evaluate that preseason when they're playing with a bunch of guys that aren't going to be playing.
Dak Prescott did all right with it.
Right.
You think – okay.
Do you think Dak Prescott's going to be – end up – 5 years from now, is Dak Prescott a better quarterback than Jared Goff?
Let me ask you this question. 1,000 of the Prisco dollars that you have to lay out.
Wow.
Jared Goff becomes a franchise quarterback or does not?
Is that you're talking about like a quality starter or
top
like
15 quarterback in the league?
He'd be a top.
No, that's not a franchise
15
guy.
15 to 20.
Okay.
What's the definition of franchise?
Is Wentz going to become a franchise quarterback?
I haven't seen him enough because he got hurt so early.
Yeah, but you saw him in college. You saw them both in college.
No, Oh, I watch a ton of North Dakota State.
They're on. You can get the tape.
Watching in college.
How about
Cal was running a gimmicky, goofy offense.
Yeah.
So, okay, will Jared Goff ever be as good as Blake Bortles?
Maybe. I would say no right now.
I don't see it.
I would say no right now.
I don't see it.
But.
And not because
it's hard to say any of those young quarterbacks. It's hard to say any of them be franchise quarterbacks until you actually see him play in line.
You better know if you're going to trade your entire draft up to get him.
Okay, well, the Eagles traded to get Wentz. Nobody knows. The Rams, I mean, the Broncos traded back in to get Lynch, and he's not starting.
Yeah, but they didn't give up everything to get him.
No, but he's not starting either. So you don't know what those
Who's going to be better, Paxton Lynch or Jared Goff?
I thought Goff would be, but now I'm starting to lean toward Paxton Lynch.
I just think it's interesting. Well, I mean,
but do you think Dak Prescott 5 years from now would be better quarterback than those three? Nobody knows.
I don't know.
What he did in preseason, you got to throw out the window. He looked good, but you got to throw it out. It's all simple.
Oh, Dak, no. Listen, we were talking about earlier off the air. Whoever the Cowboys are picking, I'm picking.
They're playing the Giants.
I'm picking the Giants in because Dak Prescott is getting ready to be welcomed to what the real NFL is.
And I think Jimmy Garoppolo, who I think had a really good preseason, he's smart and everything, and he's going to be a good player, is going to get welcomed to the NFL.
It's different.
About 80,000 blitz looks from that Arizona defense, which you got to admit, they throw some funky stuff at you.
Well, they run that. You know, Buchanan, who's a safety as linebacker, and he's running all
and
over
Honey
the damn
Badgers
place.
Is hybrid in the middle of the field.
He's,
you know,
he's going
doing.
From corner to free to everything
they're,
else.
They're going to throw a bunch of looks at him. It's going to be complicated.
I guess my point is, if you're going to trade everything up for Goff or Wentz, you better know that they're the guy.
You want to be Andrew Luck. But then people are saying Andrew Luck's not Andrew Luck anymore.
Well, that's ridiculous.
I'm with you.
And I just watching the Los Angeles. Did you watch any of Hard Knocks?
Yeah.
Something about Jared Goff.
Comes off as goofy.
Just not as the guy.
Comes off as goofy.
You didn't know what side the sun
That right
out.
There bothered me so much. That Jared Goff did not know where the sun rises and the sun sets.
Well, somebody would say that he's such a football head that he doesn't pay attention
to
stuff away.
No. Yeah. Wake up and look.
It does come up in the east, doesn't it?
Pete, yes, Pete.
I guess my point. Like, the one thing about Blake Bortles, with all his mechanical issues that can probably work on for the rest of his life, there's something about him from the beginning that you know he's the guy. The mental makeup, the toughness, just the way he carries himself. And I think that's as important as anything to play that position.
But you can't be that guy until you've actually gone out there and had some success.
I get
either.
That, but watching him on Hard Knocks, there's something about it just made me think. And maybe it was just the fact that he didn't know where the sun rose and set.
I'll give you a guy who was like that. You'll remember this because you played with him. He was your quarterback in college.
Rob Johnson.
A lot like that, right?
No, he was actually very bright and could tell you right where the sun set and rose.
But he was goofy.
Yeah, he was goofy. I don't mind goofy guys, but I mean, just.
So what you're saying is you don't like dumb guys. You think Jared Goff is dumb.
I don't think you can be dumb and play quarterback.
No, I don't either. You could be dumb off the field, not football dumb.
Is he football dumb?
I mean,
I don't know.
There were people who didn't think Dan Marino was the brightest guy in the world when he was coming out.
But isn't the word out of that Los Angeles camp that Goff struggled for most of the camp in preseason?
Yeah. I mean, there were moments where he looked good. There were moments where he looked bad. I think that you're going to get that from a rookie quarterback.
Now Wentz,
Wentz, too.
He has arm talent now.
So does Wentz.
No, both of them do.
So does Lynch.
Yeah.
All three of them have arm talent.
They have arm talent. So maybe it was just the fact that he didn't know where the sun
You mean arm strength. Arm talent's the cheap, trendy way to say it now.
Whatever.
Arm
talent. You know what I mean. His arm works. His arm works.
Arm talent is cheap, trendy talk.
I have a good friend that coaches with me at Episcopal, Mike Jones, the baseball coach and defensive line coach for the Episcopal Eagles. Mm-hmm. And his he says all the time, pitch for the Kansas City Royals, but his quote-unquote is his arm works, right. Meaning he can sling it.
I always like to say he's got a cannon.
Cannon? Hose?
Arm talent.
Arm talent. That's you know,
that is the trend. My favorite thing. My favorite is his arm works.
I like his arm works.
Back in a moment, we'll go through each game in week one.
Stop. Stop, Joe.
That sound means the first caller in right now, 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. You'll get a pair of tickets to tomorrow night's World Cup qualifier at Everbank Field. The United States is going to pummel Trinidad and Tobago. First caller in gets a pair of tickets. We'll wrap it up after this Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
What's up?
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Final few moments of Jaguars Monday. JP Shadrick, CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco.
And we got to hurry up.
I got to go.
Is there a game tonight?
Got to go.
Tony Vaselli, who is eagerly anticipating.
Are you texting in inspirational words to your son before the game?
No. He has a coach to do that.
He has himself to do it.
Yeah, young guys need some help sometimes.
Yeah, I'm self-motivated. I never need anybody to tell me.
You are so full of you know what.
No, I don't need. I don't
you
need.
Act like
Tony,
you
you're a self-motivator too.
You are.
I understand, but as a young player, it helps. You know, you're nervous. A good word from your coach, your head coach, position coach. I mean, it helps you calm the nerves and get out there and focus.
That's one of my favorite things to do. Is they show the pregame speeches from the coaches before college games and stuff, and I'm like, or any game, and I'm like, they all say the same thing.
I will say this about pregame speeches. Joe, are you trying to talk
to
us?
We'll get him in a second. Go ahead.
I'll say this about pregame speeches, and I like a good pregame speech. What are you laughing about?
Just what? Say it.
I like a good pregame speech. But let me tell you what happens with a good pregame speech. You get all like, all right, yeah, that's great. Then you walk out, and by the time you go through, you know, introductions and national anthem and everything else, then the reality sets in. I got to go play a game. And from the speech to when you walk on the field, that speech now means nothing.
It doesn't mean anything anyway.
Nothing at all. I mean, I enjoy a good speech.
I don't.
It's good.
Yeah. Jim Haslett once told me one time, he was telling me when he was coaching Saints, he goes, I'm gonna get this thing from this book and a military guy said or something. And I go, Jim, just go in there and tell him to rip him off the hinges. That's all you got to do.
No, but I mean, I think the one thing that can help is, I mean, you want guys to go out there focused, ready
just
to go.
Just go do your damn job. That's why do your job is such a cliche.
Pete, you realize that everyone is internally motivated, or self-motivated.
Especially the millennials. The God
help
so
they
us
need
with those
something.
Guys.
The millennials, they need something.
You got to admit, the millennials.
They scare me.
You're not a millennial. You're way past millennial, but.
Pete, I'm closer to your age than JP's age.
I know. You're, what are you, 47 now?
44.
44? 55.
Yeah. Actually, I'm right in between
34.
You two.
Yeah, you're right in the middle.
Yeah. You seem more like an old guy, though, but you were an old guy when you got here.
Old soul.
Ornery.
You were like, when you got here, you were married, you were on your way to having kids and everything. You were like a 35-year-old rookie.
You'll be a grandfather soon, probably.
Bite your tongue. Don't say that. That's not funny, actually, JP.
Florida State cheerleader.
Whoa!
There we go.
Stop. No. Stop.
Oh,
don't! It's not funny.
It really is funny.
It really isn't.
Grandpa Tony.
No. No, one day, but not right now.
Grandma Angie wouldn't like that.
Oh gosh, she would kill somebody.
Let's pick the games in week
Hold
one.
Hold on, I want to know what
Joe, what do you want, Joe Fortunato.
Matthew Deuce picked up the tickets. Congratulations, Matthew! Thanks to everybody.
Oh, great!
Go USA.
He's going to see the beatdown tomorrow night here at EverBank when the U.S. dominates Trinidad and Tobago.
Why were you – I heard you rooting for Trinidad and Tobago. That's what someone
when
said.
When did you hear that?
Well, you were doing some old Trinidad.
I'd root for Trinidad and Tobago if they gave me a round-trip ticket and week down there to spend the week.
Is it nice down there?
It's supposed to be really nice.
Yeah. Let's pick some games. Thursday night, Panthers-Broncos. Cam Newton says don't call it a rematch.
It's not.
It's not a rematch. One team lost in the Super Bowl, one's playing the first regular season game, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's not going to make Carolina feel any better if they beat the Broncos.
No. I like the Broncos.
I like Carolina.
It's in Denver.
Tony's going to be at the game.
I'll be working the game for Westwood One.
Who's your partner?
Boomer's in the booth. I'm not sure who's doing play-by-play. So this is the only Thursday night I'll be on the
sideline,
and then the rest I'll be up in the booth.
Bucks Falcons in the Georgia Dome.
Oh, I think the Bucks. I don't think the Falcons are any good.
I don't either. I think
the Bucks are pretty good.
Well, I like the Falcons at home opener.
I like the Bucks. I don't think they're any good.
I don't either, but I think the Falcons will find a way.
The Falcons' window's closing a little bit too, isn't it? Right? Ryan's getting a little older.
Yeah, he's got good football left.
Does he? Okay.
They got to get their defense playing. The defense is very good. It's young.
That's what's closed the window. Is they can't stop anybody.
Bills Ravens in Baltimore.
Baltimore.
I like the Ravens.
I think the Bills stink.
But I don't think the Ravens are gonna be very good this year.
No, but I think the Bills are bad.
Bears.
Flacco look in the preseason?
Good.
Yeah,
he only played a couple games. What, he played one game?
Bears at Texans.
I like the Texans.
We'll get to this game coming
big
up.
Big spread
last.
Though,
6.5.
Yeah.
Chargers.
Not that we bet, but I'm just mentioning
Chargers that. At Arrowhead against the Chiefs.
Chargers at the. I like the Chiefs. I think the Chargers
like the
have some issues.
Yeah, I do too.
Chiefs. Really do. Not sold on them. Offensive line's average. They lost Keenan Allen.
It's a shame. It's a shame that Rivers doesn't get the help he deserves.
He's such a good player. Yep. Keenan Allen's out for the year, correct?
Yeah.
Raiders at Saints.
I think the Saints are awful. Their defense is terrible.
It's a tough trip for a young team.
It's a long trip for a young team.
In a tough place.
I think the Saints,
I think the Raiders will find a way late, but they'll find a way.
I think the Saints get that even though I'm not a Saint believer.
Yeah, I think the Raiders will win that game.
Bengals at Jets.
You know, we should be keeping track of this so we can keep a tally.
Yeah, we should.
Good job, Bengals JP.
Thanks, Bengals at Jets?
Bengals.
Bengals.
I'll go back to the tape later and do this. Browns at Eagles.
Eagles.
Even with Carson Wentz.
Eagles. Browns are terrible. Forget about RG3. Their defense is awful. There's no talent on that defense.
I'll go Philly, too.
Okay, at home. Vikings at Titans.
Vikings.
Vikings.
A lot of running. Dolphins at Seahawks.
Seahawks.
Yep.
Giants at Cowboys.
Giants.
Giants.
Dak Prescott, welcome to the NFL.
Lions at Colts.
Colts.
Lions at Colts. I don't know. I haven't seen one snap of the Lions in the preseason.
They're okay. They don't know who they are.
Yeah, no Megatron. I'll be interested to see what they do now. I'm going to go with
Colts.
Colts.
Patriots at Cardinals.
Cardinals.
Sunday night football in Arizona. Two Monday night games. Steelers at Redskins.
Good football game. I think like the Redskins. Steelers. But I think the Redskins are – I think they might be the best team in the NFC East.
I don't. I think Kirk Cousins comes back to reality, which is why they didn't give him a contract extension. Yeah, I like Steelers.
I like Pittsburgh, too. No Le'Veon Bell, but D'Angelo Williams will do a good job, and they'll be fine.
They got Ben Roethlisberger.
And they have Antonio Brown.
And Ben Roethlisberger.
Rams at 49ers.
I agreed. I know. I said –
But the main reason is because they have Ben Roethlisberger.
But you understand I said and.
I know.
I didn't say or
right.
or
but you'd rather,
better.
If and or, you'd take Ben Roethlisberger.
Obviously, but I did say and. Okay. So I was going we'll to be that. A little.
Rams, Niners.
That's going to be a putrid quarterback game.
Where is it at?
It's in Santa Clara, yep.
I'm going to go with the 49ers.
I'll take the Rams. I'm not taking Blaine Gabbert.
Taking Blaine Gabbert.
Colin Kaepernick off the bench.
Case Keenum. It's not like he's any good either.
No.
Let's finish with Jaguars Packers here at Everbank Field. Who
I think it's a great matchup. I really do. I think it's going to be close. I think a 28-24 type of football game, and I think the Jaguars win. I
agree. I think the heat's going to be a real problem for the Packers.
And I think the Jaguars are going to be able to run the ball against that front. And I think if they can run the ball, that passing game becomes even more
dangerous. It's the only loss of the season for the Packers when I played out the season. 15-1. How about that?
You're right on one case. They're going to one area.
Schedule
they're
tell me where they're going
to
lose.
So Minnesota's not going to beat them either time?
No.
Pete, you're wrong
15-1. They ripped 15 straight.
Wrong again, Pete. Congratulations. At least you're consistent.
Well done, guys. Pete, we'll talk to you from South Florida next
week.
Yes,
the season is upon us.
Pete Prisco, Tony Baselli, Joe Fortunato. I'm JP Shadrick, Max Hockman as well. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.